came to serve in kids ministry through kind of a long process. It actually, I had served with missions. I actually led VBS, and I wasn't called to lead kids. And the person that led the group to Kenya actually prayed about it and said that I should lead VBS, and I was terrified. But I did it because I felt that's what was being called, and I really liked it. Last Easter, as I sat in Easter service, I got this nudge, and I really felt like God was saying, I want you to serve in kids ministry. And I don't know where it came from, but I just felt the nudge, and I brushed it off. I said, no, you don't understand. I've got a lot on my plate. We do Reengage. We do the marriage ministry. I work with Hope Haven. I do a lot of things. I work. I have a lot on my plate. I already raised my kids. I don't have any little kids. I don't want to be around little kids. I hesitated for a few weeks, and then I kind of went back to when I went to Africa, because as a middle-aged man coming to serve in Africa, one of the pastors asked me, why would you serve the babysitting ministry? Why would you come halfway around the world to serve in the babysitting ministry? And at that point, I was kind of offended. I was like, what do you mean the babysitting ministry? This is the future of your country. There are more kids in Kenya than there are adults. Why would you consider it the babysitting ministry? But then I realized that's where my heart was. Why do I want to go serve in the babysitting ministry? And at that moment, when I started really thinking about it, God revealed to me, this is what I have in store for you. And I kept saying, I am not equipped to be in kids ministry. I don't know how to teach kids. I know how to teach adults. I don't know how to relate to kids. But I called, and she asked, do you want to serve every other week, or do you want to serve every week? And it would have been very easy for me to say, I'm going to serve every other week, so then I can still do my life group. I can still teach in my life, in my adult life group. But I said, you know what, Mary? God's calling me, so I'm not just going to dip my toe in the water. I'm going in head first. I'm diving in. This wave of, oh my gosh, what have I said? Because she said, what I need is I need a fifth grade boys teacher. And I paused and I thought, no, I'd like to be an assistant the first year. I'm not ready to be a teacher. And she said, that's really where I need you to serve. Can you do it? And I said, Mary, I have three adult daughters, basically 15, 18, and 22. I don't know anything about boys, but I decided, you know what? If that's where they need me, that's where I'll serve. The week before, when the training came, because I felt like I needed the training, I needed to know how to do this, I had a biking accident and I landed on my face, had a concussion, had bleeding on my brain, was out of commission for 2 or 3 weeks. So I actually couldn't come to any of the trainings, couldn't come to the makeup training, and I missed the first week. So the first day when I walked in to my class, I was terrified. I didn't know how to do attendance. I didn't know what games I was gonna play. I didn't know what art I was gonna do. I felt like, what am I gonna do? I was walking around kind of like lost. But then this sense of calm came over me and said, all you have to do is talk to fifth grade boys. All you have to do is share the love of Jesus, and I will provide everything you need. And from that day forth, I turned it over to God, and he has provided me with ideas. I think I'm a semi-creative person, but I've never been so creative as I have with what I do with these boys. Every week I go, what am I going to do to keep them entertained? I have to keep them entertained, because the first thing I learned is they don't want to sit for an hour and listen to Mr. David talk. And I think sometimes they're going to hate this craft, or they're going to hate this activity. And those are usually the ones that they love. It's usually the simple things. They don't want a rock star. They don't want a concert. They just want someone that will listen to them, pay attention to them, and teach them. That's all they're looking for. They don't want someone to babysit them. They want someone to engage with them. They want someone to love them and appreciate them for who they are, just the way Jesus does. And that's why I do it week after week.
Don't you just love to see God at work? Appreciate David. So appreciate David's testimony. It's a reminder that God is not limited by our ability, but God blesses our availability. Are we available for God's use? And I want to tell you about an opportunity coming up that for us is a tremendous opportunity to step up and serve. We're having our first ever North Klein VBS, and it's going to take place at Zwink Elementary. June 18th through 21st. It's right across the street from our new property where the foundation is being developed, where it'll be poured, the slab will be poured in a couple weeks. Right across the street from our future location, Zwink Elementary has opened their doors to allow us to have our first ever North Klein Vacation Bible School in the school facility, June 18th through 21st. And we're going to need help. Right now, we've just started advertising. We have 125 kids already registered, and we're anticipating 300 to 400 kids at our first ever Vacation Bible School. And the kids are going to show up ready to go, and guess what they're going to need? They're going to need us, and it is an all hands on deck, all hands on deck. We are all in, and we're going to help serve, and I need you to step up and help us serve. And so we're going to make it available to you. All you have to do is go to championforce.org/VBS. That's all you have to do. championforce.org/VBS to serve. You'll come up to this screen. You can register your child or grandchild or niece or nephew if you would like to. But this second tab where it says I'll volunteer, that's for you. Select our campus because all four campuses are having their own VBS experiences. So be sure to select North Klein and volunteer. Now, that's the best way to sign up. We have other opportunities for you to serve in ministry. We'll put that screen up. So many tracks to run on. If you're saying, you know what, I wish God would use me, the question is, have you made yourself available? Here's several ways to connect. You can even text to serve 281-843-1340. Put in there preschool, children, or students, and you'll get an immediate response. Or you can go to championforce.org/volunteer, or the one for our VBS, championforce.org/VBS, and select North Klein. So we have so many opportunities available for us to get involved in raising up the next generation of godly leaders. Now, what I want to do is pray over our summer. We have so many camps and mission trips coming up, VBS, senior recognition next Sunday, and banquet, so many activities coming up. And I want us to just pray over all of those, and let's ask God, at what level does he want us to participate? So would you bow with me? Lord, thank you for the privilege of knowing you and walking with you. And Lord, what a joy to think that you would want to use us at any level in ministry and that you bless our availability. And this morning, Lord, we just make ourselves available for your use, that you will nudge us as you nudged David. Lord, that you would show us where you want us to invest, where you want us to serve and be available for your use. And we pray over all of our camps and mission trips and VBS, Lord, for our senior recognition and banquet, all the different activities that are coming up this summer. And we just pray that, Lord, you would move in such a special way to draw children and students to yourself, that you will grow us all, Lord, in service to you, that we'll become more like Jesus because of our time of investing this summer. God, that you will draw people from the north, south, east, and west to come encounter you and experience you as we serve our community and love people to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you so much. Well, let's dive into God's word. If you'll look in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24, Joshua chapter 24, also Deuteronomy chapter number 6. We're continuing our series, Thrive. And this morning, we're going to focus on thriving as parents. That God wants us to thrive as parents. And so we're going to dive in this morning to realizing that we're made to thrive even in parenting. Now, how many of you would acknowledge that parenting is a challenge? Would you raise your hand? Parenting is a challenge. Some of you would say grandparenting is where it's at. And grandparents, we're going to connect with you in a couple weeks on a message on grandparenting. Very excited about that. But this morning, our focus is we are made to thrive in parenting. And we're in Joshua chapter 24, and I want to talk about parenting God's way. And by the way, God's way is always the best way. Would you say that with me? God's way is always the best way. So what does God say about parenting his way? We all have room to grow. None of us have it figured out. Parenting is very unique, very challenging, and you need the touch of God on your life to be the parent he wants you to be. And so let's talk about parenting God's way in Joshua 24, verse 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And I love how Joshua is about to make a bold statement for his family. But as for me and my house, would you say that with me? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua is speaking to the children of Israel, and he makes a bold proclamation. You choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to put a stake in the ground. We're going to claim territory for God. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I must acknowledge that parenting is hard work and requires intentionality. It's not like planting flowers in your flower bed and then walking away and never going back. If you walk away, you'll have weeds in the flower bed. And so it is with parenting. It requires intentionality. About 10 years ago, we shared with our church family Bruce Johnston's stages of parenting. In fact, we had this placemat at a banquet where we made that available, and it was such a tremendous experience. And I want to give you those four stages, if you'll write them down. Number one, caretaker. Parenting begins with being a caretaker. That's birth through five. Children birth through five, where you're a caretaker. And the parent's role is that of protecting and providing and praying. So you protect, you provide, you pray. The second stage is cop, ages 6 to 11. And the parent role is to teach, correct, discipline, and pray. And what you discover is the greater the trust, the fewer the rules. The greater the trust, the fewer the rules. And that is challenged throughout all these stages of parenting because children want to be independent. They want to go their own way. And as you have boundaries established around them, what you'll discover is they're longing for independence. The greater the trust, the fewer the rules. And you remember when you were a child and you thought, once I become a parent, I would do it a different way. I'm going to let my kids have ice cream before dinner. Right before dinner. And then you become a parent, and then you realize that's probably not a good idea. The greater the trust, the fewer the rules. And when trust is violated, what happens? The rules are elevated and really tightened down. The third role is that of a coach. And that's for ages 12 through 17, where the parent role is to model, to encourage, and to pray. Now, this is during those teenage years, where there's a lot of movement, a lot of fluctuation, a lot of flexing of muscle. And what you'll discover is the way you parent one child may not work in how you parent your other child. One child may be very compliant, easygoing, and a rule follower. The other child may be an adventurous spirit and not a rule follower and wants to live on the edge, may even be defiant. And you're having to figure out, no, wait a minute, this child was so compliant and easy to parent. This child is very difficult. And just about every family is going to be blessed with at least one strong-willed child. I think it has to do with our prayer life as parents, where God wants to grow us and develop us in prayer. The fourth role is that of a consultant, 18 years and up, where the parent role is to listen, advise, support, and pray. And that's where Tanya and I are in our parenting. Our son Austin will turn 20 on July 4th. And then our daughter Tori is going to turn 25, it's hard to believe, in October. Just how quickly time goes by. So for us, we're in the consulting role. Now, every once in a while, we want to be a caretaker. We want to jump back into being a cop, right? Or you want to be a coach. But really, in our life stage in parenting, we're a consultant. We're advising, we're listening, we're supporting, and of course, praying. Now, what's the common denominator of all four stages? It's the last item. What is it? Prayer. Prayer is so vital. In fact, you'll notice each stage features the value of prayer. Now, here are four things that Tanya and I have prayed over our children, really before they've been born in their entire lives. Four things. First of all, salvation. We prayed for their salvation. Way before they were even born, that they would come to know the Lord, salvation. And by the grace of God and answered prayer, of course, we were able to lead both of our children to the Lord in our home at different times. Powerful experience. But we had prayed for their salvation. Secondly, we prayed for their purity and continue to pray for their purity, that God would make them pure and holy, that they would be drawn to Him and walk with Him in purity and strength. The third item we've prayed over our children and continue to pray is for their spiritual maturity, that they would grow and develop and reach their God-given potential in Christ, that they would build spiritual muscle and spiritual tenacity and fortitude and be able to really detect the movement of God and the presence of God and the activity of God. Fourthly, we have prayed for their future mates, salvation, purity, and spiritual maturity. Whomever they're going to marry one day, what I will be able to say at the marriage altar, anticipating doing the actual wedding myself, is I'll be able to say to Tori's future husband and Austin's future wife, I'll be able to look them in the eye and say, we have been praying for your salvation. So glad you're born again. We've been praying for your purity, your spiritual maturity for years. And God has answered our prayer. And it's such an honor to be able to do your wedding. What are you praying over your children? Well, let's talk about parenting God's way. Let me give you four essentials. Number one, teach your children how to walk with God. Teach your children how to walk with God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, as I've shared with you before, it's called the Shema in Scripture. And it's clear teaching and command on how we're to parent our kids. In verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. In other words, it starts with us parents. Then verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. In other words, God's way, God's word, God's will is a full engulfing of your life. That it's not segmented or compartmentalized to a Sunday experience, but that your walk with God, parents, is your walk with God 24/7. So that your children experience God in all avenues of life. Verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Teaching your children how to walk with God. Let me give you a couple action steps under that. First of all, model the value of intimacy with God. Model the value of intimacy with God. So much of intimacy with God is caught rather than taught. In other words, parents, let your children catch you having your daily quiet time. Let them catch you praying. Let them catch you reading the Bible. Let them catch you reading a devotional. Let them catch you having your time alone with God. As you model that important element of intimacy with God, and that value in your life will become a value in their lives as they observe your walk with God. Now, I've shared this with you before, and it's still true today. If I miss my quiet time one day, I know about it. If I miss 2 days, my family knows about it. If I miss my quiet time 3 days, everybody knows. And they'll be like, would you please go have a standing meeting with God? Would you go spend some time alone with God? It's caught as much as it's taught. Another action step, place your children in environments that will help them learn how to walk with God. Now, the home is the primary discipleship environment. It's the lab for learning lordship. But you also want to place your kids in other environments where they can learn to walk with God. And we're so blessed at Champion Forest to have so many wonderful environments, preschool, children, student, all the way up through senior adults, so many environments for us to be able to be with people who walk with God, who will invest in us, who will teach us, who will encourage us, who will make deposits in our lives. And I want to encourage you, parents, make sure you get your kids totally plugged into church life. When my parents divorced when I was age 7, now that I look back over my life, one common denominator, one strong feature in my life, even after parents divorced, was that my mom kept us in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That was a common denominator. And it was through that consistency that it produced stability in my life. And God used that to put godly men and godly women into my life to invest in me through the local church. And I want to encourage you to do the same. Place your children in environments that will help them learn how to walk with God. Teach your children how to walk with God. Number two, teach your children how to love people. Teach your children how to love people. And Proverbs 22 and 6, maybe you've claimed this as we have many times. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. 2 Timothy 1, 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, Paul tells Timothy. A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. What Paul is telling his son in the ministry, Timothy, is, Timothy, I've been watching you, and the way you're serving God, the way you're walking with God, the way you're loving people, I saw that in your grandmother and your mother. How they have demonstrated that and modeled that before you, and now you're emulating their lifestyle. Christ in you, the hope of glory, and you're loving people just like I've seen your grandmother and your mother love people. Here's a couple action steps to plug in on Monday morning. Validate the value God places on others. Validate the value God places on others. Your children watch closely how you treat other people. And they know if you show favoritism, they know if you really care about people, if you really love people, if you really value people. One place we love to demonstrate how we love people and value people is at restaurants, because we like to go to restaurants. Can I have an amen? Already thinking about what I want for lunch today. And what our children can tell you is when we go to a restaurant and we're ordering, we don't do like this and not make contact with a waiter or waitress and we're just dialed in on this menu. We look them in the eye and we talk to them and we engage them in conversation. We want to get to know them. We want to treat them like they're part of our family. And we care about them. We care about their soul. And that's why we'll leave a gospel tract with a generous tip in it, because we care about their forever. But we build a relationship. We want to get to know them. We can tell you where they grew up, usually where, if they're in school, what they're majoring in, because we're just communicating with them while we're enjoying a meal. And as they're serving us, we're trying to shine the light of Jesus toward them. Our children know whether we really value people or not by how we treat them, if we really care about others. And then I want to challenge you under this loving people. Seize opportunities that will help your children serve others. Seize opportunities that will help your children serve others. Now, as you know, we live in a very myopic society. Louis Giglio said it so well that we have demonstrated to this generation that it's all about them, and then they go to college and graduate and having a hard time in life because they thought it's all about them. Because we've made life all about them. Carrie Newhoff, in a leadership podcast I listened to 2 weeks ago, made a great statement. He said, child-centered parenting will produce self-centered children. So let's place our kids in environments where they learn to serve others. Where they learn to move beyond their own skin and realize that there are others who exist. So, honored to have our daughter here with us in our ministry here, and she teaches kindergarten at Earhart Elementary during the week, but on Sundays she's helping Miss Jan Fonville, and they are serving in the four-year-old class at 10 a.m. during life group. Natori would love to be in a life group and somebody pouring into her, but she's serving, and we honor that. We want her to serve and to add value to other kids and to give back and invest in others. Our son Austin, when he went to high school camp, and it was, you know, we know how to do high school camp at Champion Force, amen? I mean, it is off the chain, as Pastor Olis Holder, one of my dear friends at Fallbrook, would say. He'd say, that's how y'all roll. I mean, we know how to do high school camp. It's over the top. It's unbelievable. And Austin got to experience that. And then he stayed the extra week to be a counselor for our middle schoolers. And then after that, we're talking to him about how to go, what connected with you? And he said, you know, high school camp was really awesome, but I was made for the middle school camp counselor. He said, that's what meant the most to me this summer. It's just serving. We have this picture of him kneeling down near the woods with one of his guys he was investing with his arm around him, leading him to Christ. And then Austin gave him, he gave him the Bible we gave Austin. I'm like, whoa, you gave him the Bible we gave you? And I was like offended. I was like, man, why, we would have gone and bought him up. You gave him the Bible we gave you? He said, well, yeah, Daddy didn't have a Bible. We place our kids in environments where they learn to serve others. Number three, teach your children how to make wise decisions. I wish this was easy. That one's tough. Teach your children how to make wise decisions. Now, Tanya will not allow me to share stories from my childhood because she doesn't want to warp our kids nor your kids. Teach your children how to make wise decisions. 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Paul saying, Timothy, I know how you learned this. And how from childhood, your mother and your grandmother invested in you. As a result, you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Teach your children how to make wise decisions. And the best way is to get them connected to wise counsel, the Word of God. Let me give you a couple action steps to plug in. Revere God so your children will revere God. If you value God and esteem God and revere God, it will teach your children that there is a God. You can know Him. He is for you. He loves you. And He is worthy of worship and praise. We revere God so that our children will revere God. Proverbs 1 and 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Here's another action step. Review with your children some of the wise and unwise decisions you have made. Now, you don't have to review a lot of the wise decisions you make. They see how you're making decisions, how the family is flowing, and they know when you're making wise decisions. And they also can detect when you've made an unwise decision. And it's okay to share with them. So you know what? I didn't see the full picture, and I made a decision. I was impulsive, or you know what? I probably should not have gone direction. I should have not said that. I wish I would not have reacted that way. I made a poor decision here. And if you just get real with your kids, they already know that you're not perfect. But they appreciate when you acknowledge your imperfections. To acknowledge before them that you have feet of clay, that you're dependent upon God to give you wisdom in parenting and doing life. And so it's okay to review with your children the wise decisions you've made and also the unwise decisions you've made. Teach your children how to make wise decisions. Then number four is our last one. Teach your children how to keep living by faith to the finish line. Teach your children how to keep living by faith to the finish line. A trend we're seeing in our current context is that kids who grow up in church, often 70 to 90% upon graduation, leave the church, go off to college, and they just drift from God. Then they get married and have kids. Guess what they do? They come back to church because they want their kids to have the upbringing that you gave your children. They want their kids to be under the influence of the gospel and that the consistency of a local church that's healthy and vibrant and growing and investing in their lives. They want their children to have the spiritual nurturing upbringing that you blessed them with. So don't give up. Keep praying that your children will come back into intimacy with God. Keep loving them. Keep being transparent before them that you accept them, that you're for them and you love them. And they're going to be drawn back. Because God's going to pursue them. God's not going to let them go. And they're going to come back. And we're going to rejoice with you. Hebrews 11:13. This is from the NIV 1984 edition that I preached that up for 20 years. Had it memorized by page. Then we moved over to the ESV 5 years ago. But this is the NIV 84 edition of 11:13 of Hebrews. I love this. And all of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. Here's an action step to plug in. Leave a legacy by living a legacy. Leave a legacy by living a legacy. 2 Timothy 4:7, in Paul's final words to Timothy, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You leave a legacy by living a legacy. And then guard your priorities in order to finish strong. Guard your priorities in order to finish strong. I surrendered to preach when I was 16. And it happened as a result of a jet ski accident where my brother hit me going about 60 miles an hour. I was in ICU on my deathbed for over a week. On that Wednesday night when the doctor said it doesn't look like Stephen's going to make it through the night, it was that night that God called me to preach. And over 33 years of ministry, I have done hundreds of funerals. I've had so many home visits where I had to go with a state trooper or a constable to let a family member know that their loved one or their child had been tragically killed in an accident, was dead. And I've been able to help plan so many funerals and preach those funerals and often asking a family member, would you be willing to share about your mom? Would you be willing to share about your dad? Just personal comments in the service. And just overwhelmed as I would sit on the front pew waiting for my turn to preach and hearing children get up in the pulpit and say, here's how mom walked with God. Here's how dad walked with God. And I often wonder, what did Joshua's children say at his funeral? He lived to be 110. I wonder if his children got up and said, Daddy taught us how to walk with God. Daddy taught us how to love people, how to make wise decisions. And Daddy was still living by faith when he died. And I wonder, moms, will your children be able to say that about you? Mama was still living by faith when she died. Dads, will your children be able to say that about you? Daddy was still living by faith when he died. That's what matters. And by the grace of God, that he would help us to parent our children his way so that one day, they can say, Mom and Dad walked with God.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's Word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.